Albany Talks on Great Southern FM.
All right, right into it this hour. We are rapidly running out of time, and I don't want to miss out any of our guests. In particular, my next guest, who, of all the conversations I have on this show, it's these conversations that I enjoy the most because he makes so much sense. We've talked for years, and without fail, I would say everything that Morris Musil has talked about has come to be. He joins us now. G'day, Morris. How are you doing?
Yeah, very, very good, and happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday. Morris, one of the things I've noticed, I think, a hallmark of the times. Now that I have in my pocket the equivalent of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, it's become something of a crutch for me. I no longer remember things like mobile phone numbers. In fact, I probably even couldn't tell you my wife's number or my mum's number. The phone does it all for me. Do you reckon that as we move forward, we're going to come to rely more and more and more on these sorts of devices and in general just become thick?
Well, yes to the first part. That's the end of that. I mean, we have, for the same reason that you've said, I must say I'm just as guilty and perhaps even more guilty than you. I cannot even remember my own phone number at times because what I have is this little device like you just described with either a picture or a word on it, and I just press that and it tells me exactly, you know, what the number is. I don't even have to think, and it dials it for me. I also now get into a car, and with GPS, I don't even have to know the address. I just have to press on something. It could be, again, the person's name. All the things that we had to remember, we no longer have to necessarily, because as you've said, it's remembered for us. We have an artificial brain now, and that lives inside of our phone. And the second part is, absolutely, I don't know if it's going to get worse, because this is something you and I have to decide for ourselves, better or worse, but it's definitely going to get easier to not remember, and especially now that we have this little thing called AI that's not only remembering, but it's prompting. It doesn't even wait for us to remember anymore. It says, hey, you know, weren't you going to get coffee and didn't you want to do this and maybe you have to think about this? It's actually prompting as well. And that opens up a whole other, you know, can of worms.
To an extent, is this a bit of pearl clutching? Because and the reason I ask the question is, I remember back to when I was in year 10 and the teacher said to us in maths class, you have to do this stuff in your head because if you use a calculator, you're never going to know whether you're within QE of the correct answer.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I can go snap on that story and tell you that when I was in year 8, you know, roughly when dinosaurs were around and comets were still flying around and all that kind of stuff, when I was in year 8, my father had brought back this incredible device. I can still see it in this pleather case. Called a calculator now, but then it was much larger and much more salubrious. I took it into maths class because I was not good at maths, and I set up the back and I was doing calculations on it, and I can still hear and see my teacher screaming at me with an absolutely red face, telling me off about cheating and how it was terrible. And for the first time ever, I was actually thrown out of class. I never got thrown out of class. She tore strips off me for having this little device. Stuck with me, obviously, till today. You know, it really is a matter of what's relevant to the time. I absolutely, absolutely agree that we have to, if we're talking about our children that we're educating, we have to give them the basics. They have to know 1 + 1 doesn't equal a dog or a cow or 5. That has to make sense. You and I have to be able to look at something and thumbnail it and say, yeah, that's right. No, it's not. It's called human intuition, and we have to be good at that. Do we have to force them necessarily to do long division and the rest of it? Maybe yes. But at some point, we have to realize that the vast, vast majority of them, once they've got to a basic level of whatever that is, most students are satisfied with that and can get through life without knowing more because the device will pick up the heavy lifting. And for some, the joy of it will take them much further than that.
But, I mean, if we're letting these devices do the heavy lifting, if we're using calculators, we're using our mobile phones to search for stuff on the internet so that we don't have to remember it, does that free our brain cycles up so that we can look at and concentrate on other things and maybe be a bit more artistic or maybe, have a bit more family time? Is it really a negative that we have tools that let us make our lives easier?
I'm not really sure what the answer is because it goes both ways. Lots and lots of people will come out and say, well, you're just getting dumber. The fact you don't remember this, the fact you can't do this, the fact you can't write this, you can't calculate this, it's just dumber. And they will go very pejorative on it and say, no, you know, the brain cells you would have used to know that are dead and you can't use them for anything else. So therefore, you know less. Other people will argue that, in fact, the mechanics of how it's done isn't really important. What you do with that end result is. And I kind of fit on that angle. As long as we're using the devices wisely, we're not using them as a crutch, as you said before, but as a tool. You know, we haven't given up the ghost and given our lives over to these devices because that's terrible. We literally just use them like a crutch and we get done what needs to be done. We move on to the stuff that makes more sense for us to do. In other words, if we're trying to put our taxes together, do we really want to sit through a long division, spend 4 hours calculating, or do we want those numbers given to us quite quickly and then we can put them and do what we want with them into our tax returns? So for me, I think that as long as we're using it wisely and we're using it with an understanding of what it's trying to do, maybe that's enough for most people. And a really interesting report I read this week, which is not necessarily what I'm talking about, but AI, which is the extension of this thinking. It was a very early research piece about whether AI is making kids smarter or dumber, it's called, didn't use those words. And it actually came out, this report, saying that it was making students cleverer, they found in this very quick piece, because what it did was exactly what I just described. It didn't necessarily, you know, get them to think about everything and weigh everything down and know everything. But the fact that they could now think broader, the fact that they could think deeper, and yes, they do, despite what lots of listeners are screaming at the radio now, some students actually use it and don't use it just as a crutch, but they actually stand on top of it and think broader and deeper. And in the hands of a great classroom, a great teacher, that's totally possible to get that happening. It actually argued their education was deeper and more meaningful to them because they could then find the topic out in the way that made most sense to them.
I think Einstein, I'm sure it was Einstein, said, I don't need to know everything, I just need to know where to look. And to me, I look at my little Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in my pocket and think, well, that's just helping me look, you know where to look. But the deeper issue, we are here at Great Southern FM, we're in a rural area. I was talking to a high school teacher up at Mount Barker High, and he was saying his greatest fear at the moment is that the generations of kids that are coming through are more interested in learning about how to be influencers and on social media and make videos than they are learning how to fix a tractor or plow a field. That's a worry.
I think that's sad. I think it's sad because I don't think it's true. I think it's true of some, and definitely the noise we hear about our kids today is about that. I totally agree with that. We're hearing lots of those conversations. But does that truly represent 100 out of 100 kids? I don't think so. It represents 5, 10 kids, maybe at tops. Maybe others have the wish. But we shouldn't really discount our children. You know, in my day, again, dinosaurs and comets, in my day we were told that television was going to make us dumb, that it was going to take away all our brain cells. Before then, radio was. Before then, the Beatles were terrible, the devil incarnate. I think every generation has fear around this new fandangled whatever it is. And we put our fears and our obsessions and our lack of information or lack of wisdom around it. And we kind of then value or devalue it according to that. And I'm not sure we're doing our kids a great service because the reality is they didn't go out and order this stuff. We gave it to them when they were born.
That's right. I mean, we made it and we gave it to them.
Yeah. And now we're actually hitting them over the head and saying, look, all this wonderful new shiny toy that we invented and is out there, you can't use any of it. It's no good for you. I mean, what messages are we sending? We shouldn't have invented it. We should find better ways to make sure that they are comfortable. I'm not saying baby in bathwater. I'm saying, like everything else, a teacher or a parent does, we have to be careful and deliberate and teach our children the wisdom of using it well. I know it's not as easy as that. Social media is more pervasive, but the basic rules are still there around it.
I got to say, Morris, just in closing, that one of the things that upset me the most was when the school, I mean, we're going back a few years now, the school that my children went to said, none of the children are allowed to have a mobile phone with them anymore. And I was like, you know what? Instead of taking the tools off the kids, which are the tools that they're going to use growing up and in the world that we have now, instead of taking them off them, confiscating them and treating them all like they're criminals, just teach them how to use them responsibly, and then if they break the rules, then confiscate them. But the bottom line is, I gave my kid that mobile phone for a safety reason. I want them to have it, and I'm not having any school tell me that I can't let my child have a mobile phone.
And you're right. And that goes back to the concern I said before. I absolutely don't think kids should have them in the classroom. They should be able to bring them to school, perhaps lock them up and do all that kind of stuff, be responsible for it. At times when the teacher says it's relevant in the classroom, bring it in. But otherwise,
and
again,
how to use it.
Responsible usage of it is really what we have to give our children. If we hand over fear and can't, then our children will just rebel against it. If you tell me to go into an ice cream store and I can't have any ice creams, there's going to be hell to pay. But if you tell me I can have one or two, I'm going to have one or two, and that probably will be enough for me. I'm going to be happy having that. I've indulged in it. Now I can move on. And that's the other difficulty. If we keep telling our children, no, 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 terrible, 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 and not lessons and wisdom and careful instruction and supervised instruction how to use these tools, I think we're going to lose them. And I don't think that's a good thing.
Morris, I don't know whether or not I should have you on this radio station when you speak common sense instead of being controversial.
It is still controversial if you don't believe it, and lots of people don't. I mean, I have this argument nearly every day.
Oh, really? Do you? You're getting no argument from me. I'm completely on your side. I think we're on the same page when it comes to this stuff. Morris, you have a blog where you expound on all of this a little further.
I do. It's at morrisfuturist.com.
morrisfuturist.com. Morris, you're over in the eastern states. Your career is based around predicting the future.
Well, not so much predicting, but talking about the likelihood of it. Absolutely. And getting people prepared for it. So I work with companies and individuals that kind of want to get ready ahead of the time. And that's where my main forte is.
Beautiful. Check out your blog, morrisfuturist.com. Morris, thank you, as always, for your time. We'll talk soon.
A pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, mate. See you. Bye. I really enjoy talking with Morris. There's just something about what he says. It's currently 2:15. Very shortly, we're going to be talking with Roger from